Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another brand new episode of Back to Basics. I am still Pastor Don, and I promise you, I'm not just terrible at changing my clothes. We're just recording a bunch of these in one single batch. And joining me is the similarly dressed Courtney.
Hi, and I do really like this shirt, although I think it's shrunk in the wash.
That was a nice shirt. And
I have brought up for another one of my cute little plants to say hello to everybody.
It is a cute and adorable turtle, and I
hope they make someone else happy. Atween. Wahoo!
It is a cute and adorable turtle, and I shall call him the Great Atween.
Gamera. Kid loves Gamera. Anyway.
So today we are continuing the fiery and aggressive story of Jacob and Esau as they are battling to the death over the birthright and blessing of their father, Isaac. That's the name.
God, handle like all these difficult names, and we've got like some of the easier names you got to deal with.
Those are the ones I screw up on. Frequently used. Yeah, because it's not like I've trained in this shit or anything. Come on. So we're continuing the story of here, and in our last explosive episode, Jacob snuck in covered in goat parts and stole the blessing from his dying father, Isaac. And as we talked about at the very end, a blessing isn't just some kind of haphazard religious thing. Like, it's basically a formal contract transference of leadership rights and authority. So kind of a big deal. So now we're going to see what the fallout from that is, because did Jacob and Rebecca do a thing. And it's official. It's done. It's over with. There's no take backsies in the ancient Middle East. So this is going to get fun. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. As per our usual methodology, I am going to start reading, and you are going to hurl figurative fruit and vegetables at me at any point that you feel we need to stop and talk about a thing. So
right on.
Without further pumpkin, here we go. Picking up from Genesis chapter 27, verse 30, and the fallout of Esau's lost blessing. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father sit up and eat of his son's game so that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your firstborn son, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it, Ben, that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and blessed he shall be." When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, now he has taken away my blessing."
Guava. Okay. What? So they are separate things then?
It is debatable, honestly. I have always been under the impression that they were two different ways of describing effectively the same thing. But like with a lot of this Old Testament stuff, it's really hard to say. Birthright and blessing, like the blessing is his birthright. So there's a much larger exegetical study that could be done on what's exactly going on here with these two things. And to be honest, that is more academic than I'm prepared to engage in. I will say, maybe they're separate things, maybe they're the same, but for rhetorical purposes, it's easiest just to look at them as the same thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I suppose so.
Well, we're at it, by the way. It's worth noting the whole "is he not rightfully named Jacob" line is important, because he was named Jacob, which means more or less, he takes by the heel or supplants or grabs because of how he came out at the very beginning, if you remember. When he was born, he was literally grabbing onto the heel of his brother as they were pulled out together.
Yeah.
So, like, this is referencing things we've already talked about. So, short answer of where we are now is Esau pissed. And Isaac's not happy either. So, shall we continue, or did you have more?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. For he supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have already made him your lord, and I have given him all his brothers as servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, father? Bless me also, father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then his father Isaac answered him, see, away from the fatness of the earth shall your home be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from your neck. So stuff.
Celery, yeah, nothing. There's nothing quite like payback and vengeance. I don't know. This is such a dysfunctional family, man.
Yeah. I mean, grandma got sold into sex slavery a couple times, and that was just the beginning. You're right. There's a lot happening here. And it's worth reminding us of the fact that Esau is the originator of the Edomites, makes sense in the context in which these stories are kind of being put together. When we're transitioning from campfire stories to a written Old Testament text, because the Edomites were one of the main kind of rival nations of the Israelites in those days. So we are establishing, in general purposes, in general principle, a motion of Esau from slave of his brother to semi-independent nation to free an independent nation that is kind of an enemy. Isaac's quote-unquote blessing onto Esau here at the end is basically outlining the development of Edom from Esau. So that's the direction that's going here. Any questions so far?
Yeah, let's just keep going.
It's just train wreck. Screwy, drama-heavy stuff, you know, like your typical, like, honestly, I gotta be clear with you. This is exactly like you would expect trust fund kids fighting over daddy's will. Like, this is it's exactly what's happening here.
It's got all of the poise and decency of a reality show. So
yeah, we're pretty much there. Like, I just remember it. It's been a while, but you ever see Parks and Recreation?
I always meant to. I saw one episode on a plane once.
Yeah, there's a lawyer character who's played by Henry Winkler, the guy who played the Fonz way back in the day.
Yeah.
But he's got these two incredibly spoiled kids who are always going around, money, please, type stuff. Like, this is exactly the attitudes in this between Jacob and Esau remind me of these two so very much. So in any case, let's continue on to verse 41, which starts off headed as Jacob escapes Esau's fury. Oh boy, it's gonna be fun. Gonna be fun or not? I don't know. Let's go. Verse 41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him, and Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Makes sense. But the words of her elder son Esau were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, Your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger against you turns away and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will
send you. Nectarine. He's going to forget that when?
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier about parents being kind of like blindly and forgivingly optimistic of their kids. That's not just Isaac. Like, I mean, how many times have you seen like a sibling do something like unforgivably terrible to the other for the parent to say, oh, it's not a big deal, it'll just blow over. Like, yeah, some things kind of don't, not without justice happening. Like, we see that idea, of course, play out in society a lot. The idea of, oh, it'll just blow over and we'll just go back to peace. Like, no, there was an injustice visited here that needs to be addressed. And Mama Rebecca's just like, oh, just let it blow over. It's not a big deal.
I can't relate.
this is a foreign world you're describing to me.
Yeah, it's the thing. Is
not how things work in my family.
Yeah, it is a thing, but you know, this is a thing. It really is. But follow up with the last bit of that verse where your celery almost cut me off there. Until your brother's anger against you turns away and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send you and bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Like, you can see where she's at. Like,
yeah,
you know, if Esau kills Jacob, like, he's a murderer and he's murdered the titular head of the family. And that's, he's probably also going to be put to death. She will lose both of her sons. If she can't send Esau away because, well, like, Esau is the game warden and like apparent, the heir apparent. If she just up and sends him away, most of the tribe might go with him. So they know that the blessing's been conferred. And so she's going to send Jacob away. It kind of makes sense. Shall we polish it off? We've only got a verse left here.
Yeah, let's finish off.
Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women, such as these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me?
Where's this coming from?
This is setting us up for chapter 28, which has a lot to do. The first chunk of it has to do with Jacob's marrying and Esau's marrying and marriage and marrying and chicks. So there's a big chunk of that that's going to basically be the whole next chapter. So this is as we have, and this is, you probably noticed this pattern already. We have this little snippet at the end that is next time on Bible Ball Z. And that's pretty much what this is here.
I get that, but there's been no precedent for like, just all of a sudden she's like, has there been previous mention of interactions with the Hittite women?
Not really.
That I forgot, that I just spaced on.
Yeah, but this,
you're like, just bringing it up out of nowhere. All
we
of
saw
a sudden,
this kind of randomness with Sarah like, by as the well.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, we saw this kind of randomness with Sarah as well. This kind of like, oh, and by the way, screw this person specifically.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. It's possible there may be some undisclosed context to this, like something that's wasn't really included in the biblical statute of the time, something that wasn't really worked into the Bible lesson as it was put together, something that wasn't really included in the Torah. It could be there's a context piece that we don't have here, or it could just be that Rebekah suddenly picked that day to be racist as hell. We don't know. In any case, what we do know is that Rebekah was like, oh, my dear about to die husband, Isaac, screw the Hittite women specifically, and I don't want my son Jacob to have one of them. That's what we know. Why? It could be any number of reasons. But it is what it is. And oftentimes too, like that, we can't dismiss the possibility that maybe if there was a historical Rebekah, maybe she didn't actually say this, and maybe this was just included for narrative efficiency to move the story into the next chapter, which is about wives. Like, it could have just been whoever was putting this together was like, okay, well, we need to have a reason to talk about wives, and we need to have a reason to talk about why Jacob didn't marry one of the nearby Hittite tribes. So screw it. Rebekah's racist against Hittites now. Like, that could be what happened. We don't actually know. But we also can own the fact that the motivations of Rebekah in this moment aren't super important.
I am weary of my life because of like a group of people. Seriously? That's very dramatic.
Have you ever known a racist not to be overblown and overdramatic?
This is all very depressing. I feel like these are all terrible people.
Not terrible, like human. I mean, when we adapt to the context and we understand what's going on and the things they're struggling
with. People are all terrible. Sorry, it just makes me sad.
And this is why it's important for us to do this, is because the Bible is a story of people making bad decisions.
And but we want to have stories of people to aspire to.
That's not what the Bible's for. The Bible is to show us that our failures don't define us, because God continues to move the story through us regardless. And we can't have that without people failing left and right. Like, are, as Christians at least, and again, I'm taking this out of the proto-Jewish context here and moving into the larger Christian context. As Christians, we have our aspirational story. We know who we're supposed to be striving to be like, and it's definitely not Isaac or Rebecca. So this is telling us a different story. Like, strive to be like Jesus, sure, but like, we're not going to make it. And here's a list of all the other people who also didn't make it, and look how God continues to work through that.
All right. Well, we've gotten through a lot this session.
Yeah, we have had a lot to say about a lot of different things. And in the end, it turned out that as we reach the deathbed of our good buddy Isaac here, who, let's see, is he dead now? Jacob meets Rachel. Like, I think
it never specifically said that he died, did it? Or no? Yeah, it does.
It does? Did I miss that?
Oh, no. No, it says the days of mourning for my father are approaching.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, I'll wait for dad to die, I'll mourn him, and then I'm going to kill a mofo.
Yeah. I have I skipped ahead a little bit. And I haven't seen it yet, but I did just kind of glance ahead. I don't remember exactly if and or where that happened. So we'll let it be a surprise. In the meantime, let me kindly redirect all of our wonderful viewers and listeners to our Discord server, where we are discussing these things left and right and center, usually, or not, because sometimes we get bored and don't do that. But yes, come join us. It's a fellowship. It's a community. We're all together online, despite the fact that most of us, like the two of us, are on opposite sides of this big old round ball of rock. So join us there, and we keep talking and having fun and sharing memes and whatnot. We've also got Bible studies that are kicking off. I think we've got two concurrently right now at this point, by the time this airs. We've also got a whole new series that should be out by now. Check that out too. Like, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And if you're in Japan, we've got regular monthly worship. We've got classes and stuff that are going to be start picking up here at the church building in Ashiya. Come join us. Look us up. Come hang out with us. We're a fun folk, I promise. And if nothing else, I would like to please, beggingly, lovingly, pleadingly request that you do these following three or four things.
Like, share, subscribe. Sorry, my voice is starting to go a little bit.
Yeah, we this is those of you who aren't really keeping like meticulous detailed contact of the episodes. This is the fourth one we recorded in a row. So we recorded these all in one big batch. Yeah. So we tired today. So we are gonna call it for today, and we will see you on the next episode of Back to Basics, where I promise at the very least we will be wearing different outfits.
Maybe.
Have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you later. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.